Underdog, Phil Henry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, part two, I guess, in our three-hour show. And welcome back, and we're online as well. And when we say online, that is a website on the World Wide Web at philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. We have a video cast happening right now, which also has audio with it. And when I hear people say, where do you stream live? I will say we stream live on our video cast. I mean, if you don't, there it is, you know.
Yes, but you don't understand, Phil. When people say they want to hear the show, the radio version.
Yeah.
They want to hear it on their radio.
Right, but then they're saying they don't have it in their town.
Yeah, they don't have it in town, so they'll find out what station's streaming it.
What station's streaming it for free?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I can understand that. What station? We have a lot of stations that stream our show. But if you would like, you can certainly always access a backstage pass, and you hear the show. You don't have to look at it. And as I said, we are now mobile on most every device, so you can take it with you wherever you want to go. And like that. All right, Robert Greene is going to join us from Fraser Foods here in just a moment, because something interesting is happening in Europa. That would be Europe, and that is the financial crisis that is happening and continue to happen in that part of the world. Greece, Spain, many countries, Italy to some extent, many countries having a difficult time with their national debt. The European Union trying to come to some solution for these countries. The World Bank and elsewhere, and with Robert Greene, I think we have a good guy who can explain a little bit of it. Mr. Greene is the CEO of Fraser Foods, one of the largest grocery chains in the Southwest. And he joins us on our newsmaker line tonight from Buena Park, California. Bob, how are you doing?
Phil, always a pleasure to talk with you.
So have you been watching the situation in Cyprus?
Yeah, I have a little bit of it. I can see that there is, as usual in that part of the world, there's quite a high level of passion on the part of the people, and of course there should be, to solve this debt crisis. We've got the same problem here in the United States. We don't have it to the extent that they have it there in Cyprus or in Greece. People should understand that Cyprus is an island nation.
Right, off the coast of Greece.
Yeah, off the coast of Greece, and it is... It is traditionally Cyprus has been a hotbed of political controversy, and I think in years past Cyprus saw its fair share of military juntas and this kind of thing usurping power. But today it's a democracy, as is Greece, and the people in that part of the world are upset because the Cyprusian, I don't know what they call the, somebody knows what they call.
Are you saying what do they call the people of Cyprus plurally?
Well, not necessarily what do they call them plurally, but what do you call the government? You can say the Cyprus government, but that sounds a bit awkward.
Mr. Greene? Mr. Greene?
Yes.
Is it Cyprius or?
Oh, I know, Cypriot.
No, it's not Cypriot. It's Cyprius.
I think it's Cypriot. They say the Cypriots.
No, it's not. I can tell the way you're saying that. It sounds very awkward.
Is it Cyprusian?
No, can I? All right.
Mr. Henry, Cyprusian sounds right, but you said Cypriot?
Yeah.
No, that sounds like you made that up or something. I mean, I'm not trying to tell you.
I'm telling you it's Cypriot.
I think Mr. Henry's right. It's Cypriot.
Well, with all due respect, Phil, and I thank you, but I think you're thinking of the antibiotic that gets rid of anthrax.
Yeah, you know what? He's right.
No, I'm not. That's something else. Cypriot, what is the antibiotic that gets rid of anthrax?
It's called Cypriot.
No, it's not called Cypriot. No.
Well,
Phil, you're talking to the guest.
I'm sorry, Bob. Can we just move past this?
Yeah, I would like to. Yeah, it would be nice to move past it because it's not worth my time.
All right. What is the drug that they use against anthrax?
That, I think, the anti-anthrax drug, Bob Green, do you know what that is?
No, I don't know what it is, and I hope and pray to God Almighty that I never need to know.
Well, you and me both, but it's called, I think it's called Cypress or Citrus.
No, not Citrus.
Yeah, I think Citrus sounds right.
Citrus is an acidic acid. Citrus is the acidic acid found in fruit.
What?
That doesn't sound right.
All right. In any event, we don't have to talk about this.
Well, I don't think we do, Mr. Innes, but I can tell. Look, I don't need to win an argument here, but if you're going to back off because you know you're wrong.
No, I'm not backing off because I know I'm wrong. I'm just saying let's move on. It's not that important to me. Just as you said, it's not that important to you.
Yeah, but with you saying that, it sounds like you're winning the argument.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point, Phil. What is it, the drug that gets rid of anthrax?
I don't know, and I don't care, and I want to move on now to something else.
Wow.
All right, Mr. Henry, but I think it's Citrus.
It's not Citrus.
I agree with the young man.
Okay, that's great. So we're going to talk here now about...
Cypriot?
Cyprus.
Well, Phil, you wanted to call it Cypriot.
No, I did not. No, I didn't. I said Bob wanted to know, what do you call...
Well, let's back up. You're right, Phil. I'm sorry. It's Cypriot. So we'll call it Cypriot. The country of Cypriot.
No, it's not the country of Cypriot. It's Cyprus.
All right. That's fine. What did they do?
Okay, Bob. We can move on if you're going to patronize me.
I'm just trying to avoid an argument. That's all.
Yeah, that's all we're trying to do, Mr. Henry.
Is that right? Is that what we're trying to do, is avoid an argument? Okay, great.
Now, in the country of Cypriot, what happened?
The country is not called Cypriot. It's Cyprus.
All right, it's Cyprus. Okay.
Yes. Now, right now they are having a banking scandal or a banking crisis of some kind, and...
Well, it is the debt that's carried over in Europe, and a lot of countries have been hit with it, but especially the country of, we'll say Cypriot / Cyprus.
You can call it whatever you want to call it.
We can.
Yes.
All right. I think it's Cyprian, is what I think it is.
You think that's the name of the country?
No, I don't. I think that's what you call the people.
Okay. So in the country of...
In the country of Cyprus, or Cyprian...
That's what you call the people.
Yeah, you're right. In the country of Cyprus, where the Cyprians live, they have had a banking crisis. Now, the government today in Cyprus said that they will garnish, or if you will, tax every bank account under $100,000, 7%. Now, this was something that was worked out after a great many hours of hashing it out, a great many hours of trying to figure out what they could do to try to revive the economy, a great many hours of trying to figure out what could they do to fund the government. And a lot of very well-meaning and hardworking people there in the land of Cyprian, or the Cyprian's land, or Cyprus, however you want to call it, Phil, Cypriot, where they, trying to help the Cypriotic people, and they came up with this plan.
All right. Now, there have been protests today in Cyprus, Cyprian, whatever, about this plan.
Yes, and the protests have to do with the amount that is being taxed.
Exactly.
Yeah, the protests are 7% of anybody's account that's, anyone who has a bank account that's under $100,000. Now, it seems to me that that's targeting exactly the wrong people.
No, actually it isn't, Bill, because there are not that many. If you were to say, all right, let's go and target the bank accounts, and you're not really targeting. What you're doing is you're looking to see where the largest, asset that the nation's banks hold, exactly where does that money reside, and that's generally with those people, those middle-income people that may have income not exceeding $100,000, or may have savings not exceeding $100,000. And so the government then said, we will tax those at 7%, and the other accounts there doesn't seem to be enough money in. And that's why you avoid taxing those larger accounts, because the larger the account, the fewer of them there are, until finally there isn't enough.
What do you mean there ain't enough? I mean, if you find a guy, he's got $1 billion, you tax, what's 7% of $1 billion?
I don't know what's $7 million.
$7 million, yeah.
All right. So you got 7%. No, not. It's,
I'm sorry, 7% of $1 billion is $70 million. That's $70 million.
Okay. And you take that, and you say that's not enough?
That $70 million wouldn't pay for tap water. It wouldn't pay for $70 million. Think about it. What's the debt? What's the national debt of the United States?
Well, we're way up in the trillions. I mean, you know, $14 trillion, whatever it is.
Right, right. So $70 million isn't going to do diddly-do, as they say. So instead, why not tax a guy who's got $100,000 at 7%, and that's $7,000? But there's a lot more of those people, and that adds up to more.
I don't know. I don't know the math, and I don't really know why that would be better.
Well, it's better, Phil, because first of all, there's two things. When you're taxing someone at that rate, there is less damage done to the instinct to go out and create wealth, which is what we want our high-income people to do. There's less of an instinct. There's no damage to the instinct to go out and create wealth, because generally, someone that has $100,000 or less, they're just not the kind of person that's going to be out there really doing much in terms of creating wealth or employing people. Someone with more money than that is, and when you start taxing them at 7%, you're basically sticking a gun in their ribs and saying, no, you won't help the economy. No, you will not. Give me your money, is what you're saying.
All right, Robert Green is with us here from Fraser Foods, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with him about the crisis in Cyprus, or Cypriot, or Cypresia, or...
It's probably Cypresia.
Yes.
All right, and what they're doing to get rid of the problem, which is one proposal, they're literally to garnish every bank account in Cyprus of under $100,000, 7%, if you want to call it a garnishment or a tax. The World, Bob Green is on here saying that is a better idea than taxing the higher income people. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Be back in just a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And truth is our bitch on this show. With me is Bob Green. Mr. Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods. Margaret Gray and our panel, Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman. And Bud, you have a map there of Cyprus. Do you want to go ahead and bring that up?
Yeah, here's the map of Cyprus. And Mr. Green, you see that?
Yes, I do. That's a map of Cyprus that you've got blown up a little bit.
Yeah, well, I focused it up and I scrunched it up a little bit so you can see it. Now, over here is, that's just a place that's called
What difference does it? What are you pointing out, bud?
Just different things.
Would you take the pointer from... Let me do it, will you?
No, I'm going to... I just want to show you one place. Look at this place here. What? What is that called? Mooga Boogoo. Mooga Booga?
No, that's not Mooga Booga. That sounds African. What are you pointing at?
That one right there.
What one right there?
You can't point with your finger, bud. It's on the computer.
Oh. Right here, if you can see it. Limdelben or something like that. You know?
Yeah, what about it?
Just seems interesting.
Look, Bud, if you're going to show us a map of Cyprus, it's got to mean something, okay?
Yeah, that's the place.
Okay, great. That's the place where they're having all kinds of problems financially.
Also Malta, too.
Yeah, Malta is very fascinating, Malta.
Yeah.
What's interesting about Malta?
Just the name, Malta.
It has that kind of Malta. Malta.
I wonder, and I'm just, I know that we want to talk about Cyprio and stuff, but...
That's it, by the way. That's the name of the drug that combats anthrax, Cyprio.
What?
No, that's not right. Cyprio, no way. You might as well call it Malta.
Yeah, okay, that's what it's called, Malta. Go ahead. Sorry that I interrupted.
Well, Phil, we're talking about Malta. Malta was a very important island. There's a lot of really interesting islands over there. Malta, you know, this one, Cyprus. And Malta, I think I know what you mean, but it's kind of like Baldo meal.
Yeah, it's going to say.
Okay, so what's that got to do with Cyprus?
We're talking about the Mediterranean right now, Phil. Do you mind?
Yeah, all I'm trying to say, Phil, is that while Bud was having a difficult time showing us what Cyprus looked like, there's also Malta.
Yeah, and I was thinking, well, I could show you that, too, if you want.
No, I don't want to see Malta. It's got nothing to do with anything. I want to see Cyprus.
Well, if you want to see Cyprus or Cypriotic or...
Whichever you want to call it.
All right.
All right, well, there it is, right there.
Okay, that's great. That's Malta. One, not Malta, that's...
Yeah, see? Yeah, hey. That's
I know, it's Cyprus.
Yeah.
All right. Showing me a map of Cyprus sitting there in a big white space, Bud, doesn't give me any perspective.
Dad, you always... You anything else wrong?
Phil, don't be so critical.
I'm being critical because I can't see what the hell... Who cares? Give me a map of Cyprus, man, that I can sink my teeth into, okay? Something that shows me where is it located.
Well, it's off the coast of Greece, or as the French call it, Greco, or as the Greek people themselves call it, Griko. Now, as you know, and I don't want to make a big thing out of it, because you've mocked me and mocked me.
Oh, this is the gentleman that you know, huh, Margaret?
Yes, Bob. This was Nico, a gentleman that I met in Salt Lake City at the Olympics. He was devastating, and I think that goes without saying.
Yeah, I understand you were very enamored of him.
I was. Phil here has mocked the very deep and, yes, at times... Even animal, even, I don't know, there was something that was really dirty about it and yet so pure.
Yeah, I understand what you mean, Miss Gray.
Thank you, Bud.
Isn't that nice? Do we have to talk about this or can we get back to Cyprio or Cyprot or...
Cyprot? Boy, you really are hostile toward those people, aren't you?
Well, this is why I'm trying to get... I want to get some sort of sensitivity and cultural understanding.
You knock it off, okay? I want to talk about Cyprus, not Cypriot, Cyprus, not Cyprusian. And if you want to talk about Greco, Greca, or Greece, that's fine too. But I want to find out about this part of the world and the banking crisis. If you don't mind, would you mind? Thank you, Bob. That's why I brought you on.
Well, all right, Phil. I mean, I don't see any reason why you got to get hostile.
I'm getting hostile because we're wasting time.
All right, I apologize.
You don't have to apologize. This is more my co-hosts here in the studio.
Well, what did I do?
You're giving me this big song and a dance about Greece. I don't care. And about your boyfriend. I don't care. And you, Bud, with your maps of Malta. I'm talking about...
Yeah, see? You don't even know what to call it.
Yeah, I used to.
It's Cyprus.
Cyprus. Yeah, that's great. Okay, we'll go with that.
Cyprus. You're very, very sarcastic, Phil. It's not very becoming of you.
Oh, well, okay. I'll look out for that.
All right, so anyway, Phil, Cyprus. It's better that the people who make a lower income, it's better that they are the ones that pay this tax. As I said, the higher income people, the people who have the large deposits, the people who obviously are individuals with enough money to start businesses or employ people, those are the people... And then at the end of the day, Phil, those are the people that are going to be hurt if you're taxing them because then they won't have enough money to start businesses and employ people.
All right, let me ask you something because I've heard this argument in different ways. I'm not saying that you're not making it in an interesting way, but I've heard the argument that they're the large money, the deep pocket, the people who make the biggest incomes are the people that employ. This being the case, why are we not seeing them employing? Why are we not seeing them starting businesses? Why are we seeing so many people in distress only to be told, well, you know, we have to tax you instead of the people with all of the money because the people with all of the money, those are the ones that start the businesses?
Well, Phil, I think it's obvious, at least I would hope it's obvious to you, that if I have money and I have a business that's successful... it's because I knew when and how and where to start it. I knew business climate. I saw the signs of the times, and I knew when it was right to start a business and when you were you know, taking your rear end in your hands, if you may ask me to say, or if I may say what I just said.
All right, so you're saying that the wealthy are biding their time.
That is exactly right. And if people that don't have enough money to start businesses are going to start dictating to people that do have enough money to start businesses when and how they should start businesses, I don't even want to get into it because it makes me so angry.
All right, let's leave on that note. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I mean, you're talking about the Supresians.
And we have one more segment here with Robert Greene. Really appreciate you being with us, Bob, because I think it's educational to hear from a businessman on the state of world economy. But you have said something I think is kind of controversial, and that is that the rich, and I've heard this before, the rich should be spared the taxes while the middle class should pay them.
Well, I'd say it's not a controversial opinion. As you said, you've heard it before, and that is so that those that create the wealth can create the wealth.
And yet we've got they're not creating any wealth right now.
They're not creating any wealth right now because they're biding their time. You've got to bide your time and wait for the best time to do what you're going to do, to create wealth and all that. I mean, I can't explain it any better than that. One of the reasons why there's so much bad blood, I think, between, the so-called capitalists and those more of a middle-class stripe, more the worker bee as opposed to the executives, is there's a very lack of understanding of how the economies work and stuff like that.
Well, Bob, this is Margaret. Do you feel you understand how the economy works?
Would you say that again?
Do you feel you understand how the economy works?
I do understand how the economy works. And if you'd like, I can give you a thumbnail.
Please.
Yeah.
All right. The economy is basically the money. Where is the money? Where's the money? You ever heard that guy? I forget his name. The kid that was on that Jerry Maguire used to say, where's the money?
Show me the money?
Yeah, show me the money. So that's the money. Now, I mean, what do you mean? I don't understand. What do you mean, what's the economy?
Well, you said you could explain it.
Right, I can, but I don't know. What part do you want to know?
Well, I want to know, how does it work, and why are you in favor of the rich?
I've already said.
Yeah, I know you've said, but and I don't mean to interrupt you, Margaret.
No, go ahead.
What...
Yeah, see, you guys are already in over your head. You don't understand. I do. I understand how it works.
You're right. I can't form the question.
Right. So just don't even bother. I think it behooves you to trust those that have money, and the ones that don't, just be glad that you got a job and you've got your bag of potato chips or whatever it is that you want.
Well, you're talking about people as if they're sort of just, they're sheep.
No, I don't mean that they're sheep, but they are. People like you, Ms. Gray and Mr. Hendry, what makes you happy? A bag of potato chips and a TV show?
Not necessarily.
No, that doesn't make me happy. First of all, I watch what I eat. I'm very health conscious.
Okay, so you're health conscious. So what do you like? You like those carrot chips?
It isn't the... Well, yes, I like the sliced carrots.
All right, so you sit down with a bag of sliced carrots, some dip... And to you, that's living. To me, I feel as if the world is going to fall apart. I can't sit down with a bag of potato chips or corn chips, which I used to like. I don't eat them anymore because I don't have time. I don't have time to sit down with corn chips and watch America's Got an Idol or America's Got the Idol or something.
American Idol.
American Idol. There you go. What's the one that America's Got?
America's Got Talent.
I can't watch any of it.
Why can't you watch it?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. Why not?
Because I just got done telling you people.
What do you mean, you people?
I don't mean it racially. I mean that...
Well, you did say you people.
All right, take it easy. What do you mean, Bob?
I mean, while you, Mr. Henry, and you, Ms. Gray, and you, Mr. Leonard, and you, Mr. Dickman, can sit and eat potato chips and shovel them down, I have to sit there and figure out how I'm going to keep the world from blowing apart. That's what rich guys do.
Well, all right. I think you're giving yourself a little more credit than you should, but let's get some phone calls up here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Austin in Lancaster. Go ahead, Austin.
Yeah, I want to address a couple of things to Mr. Abbott. Mr. Green, how are you?
I'm very good, Austin. How are you doing?
Well, I'm all right, but I heard you were saying that the rich are the ones that are can't have a potato chip because you're worrying about how the world's going to go. I worry, but the world that I worry about is a world that I care very much about, and that's the world of my children.
Of course you do, sir, and I think that that's the world that I believe that is the most important world. And so in a lot of ways, you're worrying about something that's way more important than what I worry about.
Well, my question to you is, what are you worrying about? You're saying that you got all this money, and so you worry about important things. I don't have as much money as you, but I worry about my children. I worry about everything like that. You know, if I can get my car started in the morning, will I be able to get down the hill and get some supplies, you know? If I can't get down the hill to get supplies.
All right, well, let's talk about that. I worry about whether or not there's going to be political tensions between the countries, let's say in the EU, and we won't get that debt crisis solved in Europe, and the world plunges into yet another depression. I have to worry about that because you're not worried about it. You're worried about going down the hill and getting supplies.
Yeah, well, I mean, isn't that important?
Not if the whole world goes to hell. Your supplies, brother, they won't help you at all.
Yeah, if the world goes to hell, I've got supply, and I'm supplied. Okay?
What do you mean by supplies, Austin?
Well, I was just talking about if I've got supplies, you know, if I've got supplies, to feed, you know, if I've got dog food and I've got enough baby formula.
All right, well, you may have baby formula and dog food, or whatever you want to call it, but, yeah, I can't explain it to this guy, you know.
I mean, you should try and explain it to me.
What can't you explain?
I can't explain to a guy like this. There's nothing wrong with you, Austin, but the world, sometimes the world is such a bad place. I wish I was you. I wish I could sit and eat whatever you eat and stare. What do you eat?
What do you mean, what do I eat?
What do you eat when you watch football?
Well, you know, I got potato chips, or a corn chip or a tortilla or something like that.
What about salsa?
What's that?
What about salsa?
Yeah, I get salsa.
All right, so that's the biggest sweat you've got, whether you eat a corn chip or a potato chip. I'm worried about whether the banks are going to stay open and whether I have got another day of life left for myself and my employees, or am I going to have to throw God knows how many people into the street who will go directly to my home and want to talk to me about why I threw them in the street. And it's a toss-up as to whether or not I am going to be sitting down with my family that night to dinner, or whether I have been dragged behind a car. And
okay, that's the most gruesome image that I could possibly imagine.
But Mr. Henry, it's something that we, the wealthy, have to worry about. I think we all remember Marie Antoinette standing there in an ox cart, looking around as if she was going shopping. She didn't know what was in store for her. What was in store for her? Three guesses, and the first two don't count. Let me put it to you this way: she was not looking ahead. Okay.
Mr. Green, you don't have to make a joke about this.
What joke is he making?
Marie Antoinette was beheaded, okay? And I agree.
Well, this is the only way you get people who don't know about Marie Antoinette to learn about it.
All right, so you said Marie Antoinette, but I don't even know who she is.
Marie Antoinette, she was the queen of, I don't know, some country.
She was the queen of France, so you don't know. She was the queen of France.
Okay, what about it?
Well, what I said is she was wealthy, and she was trying to get ahead.
Okay, Bob, you know, you're going to make these jokes. I get it. What you're saying is Marie Antoinette paid the ultimate price for being separated from her people, not only in terms of just her knowledge of her people, but separated by class, by wealth, and she paid the ultimate price.
I would say that she did. I would say that she did. And I think that, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make a big joke out of it, but I, when you think of Marie Antoinette, when you think of King Louis, the same thing happened to him. You know, it was just the fact that they were head and shoulders above.
Would you stop doing that, please?
What?
Oh, you know what you're doing.
Well, I don't understand. What's he doing?
Didn't we? You heard us.
Didn't you hear what we're talking about? You're talking about a lady got her head chopped off.
Yeah, I know about that, but what's this ass doing? Wait a minute. Who are you calling an ass? You! Everything you've been saying.
Wait a minute, guys.
No. Everything you've been saying, you're talking down at me. Even though I just to listen to you, you sound like you're 5'4". How tall are you? That's none of your business. What do you mean, don't ask me how tall I am. You're right, I am looking down on you. Yeah, you're looking down on me because you're standing on a stool. Well, you know what, Mr., what is your name, Austin? Is that it? Yes, sir. I can tell you this much, sir. I got no fear. If you said that to me in a barroom, okay, I might, well.
What?
I'd have to get up on a stool to... Yeah, you'd have to get up on a stool and swing on me, wouldn't you? I would, but I got news for you. I'd knock you out cold. I don't think so.
All right, Austin, thank you for your call.
Yeah, all right, Mr. Eric. You should get better guests than this guy because he just don't...
All right, Austin Amarca, who is a frequent contributor to our program, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with us here is Robert Green. We have not yet really addressed adequately... This question, which is the class distinction. You've got a country over there, Cyprus, which is on the verge. And it seems to me it's causing even more problems, and you're almost throwing more gasoline on the fire when you say, okay, now you people, middle-class people, because you can't really start businesses, create wealth, we want you spending more in tax money, and the wealthy, once they're ready to get going, they'll get going.
You know, Phil, I'm sorry that it sounds like that. I don't mean it to sound that way, but that is the way it is. As I said, the trade-off is this. Yourself or whoever you want to say is a middle-class person, like the people in Cyprus, you get to sit and watch your game and have a chip and have a dish of dip. You know, like my mother used to have what they called a Lazy Susan. I don't know if Ms. Gray remembers that.
What did he say?
Lazy Susan?
Yes, I know what a Lazy Susan is, but this is not the point. The point is, these are people that work very hard. They're middle-class people. You are saying that the national debt is on their shoulders.
Because of what I had said, yes, that the wealthy must have the room to breathe. They've got to be able to get away from the masses and begin to think about how they want to create wealth, and in the process, get away from the, and be able to breathe, get away from all of the people that rub up against each other, and it's hot, and you're in an alley. I don't know. I mean, every time I see a picture of Cyprus or Greece, it looks hot, and the food they eat. If you're telling me that they eat lamb, and then they start to sweat.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I dated a Greek man.
We know already, ma'am. You already said that. You know.
Well, I don't know if you know, Bob.
I do because she talked about it already.
Yeah, but you aren't talking about having a Greek man.
I had a Greek boyfriend, and he didn't smell, I can assure you, because of the things I've said.
And I heard what you said, which was that he ate a sandwich while he's doing you, right?
You really have a garbage can for a mind, don't you?
No, but isn't that what you said?
Yes, that is what you said, Margaret.
I didn't say he was doing me. But yes, he ate a sandwich while we made love.
All right. What did he smell like?
He smelled a bit like the, what is the green? The parsley. He smelled a bit of parsley, and there was a little bit of onion.
So this is the way the guy smelled while he was making love to you, and you were fine with that?
You know, Mr. Green, I am not going to open my heart and my soul to one such as you, a man that has to climb up on a stool to swing on another man in a barroom.
What'd you say?
All right, hang on the line here. Are you all right?
No, I'm not all right. I think he's a little weird man. He's just...
All right, we'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray, Robert Greene, Cypress, standing on a stool to punch somebody.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Robert Greene joining us from Fraser Foods. So, Bob, as you're talking here, this crisis in Cyprus, and the idea is to, again, this 7% tax. So how do you think this is going to play out?
Well, I think, Phil, there's no question they're going to, as they like to say, pull the fat from the fire. I think that the people of Europe are going to settle down. It's been a tough time for them. There's no question about that. But I think Cyprus has been through quite a bit in its history, and we're just talking about a country now that is having a banking crisis. But this is a country that has survived. As I mentioned to you, Cyprus was the site of some very intense battles in World War II, and they had the military junta, the Greek and Turkish Cypriots, try to coup d'etat against the Cyprusian, or I don't know how you call them, but the nationalists of 1974.
What do you call them?
I don't want to get hung up on that, okay?
All right, but I mean, I think I owe it to my audience to pronounce it correctly. It's Cypriot.
No, it's not. No, it is not. Why do you keep doing that? It's Cypriot. I don't know what it is, but it ain't. It could be Cypriot. But there's other ways of saying it, too.
Yes, that's my point. Cypriotians or something like that?
I've never heard Cypriotian. Never.
That doesn't... Okay, Phil, so you've never heard of it. That doesn't mean anything.
Okay, you're right.
So you've never heard of it. So what? Have you ever been to the moon?
Yeah, it's a good point.
What?
Have you ever been to the moon?
Yeah, have you been to the moon?
Yeah, have you landed on the moon?
No, I've never landed on the moon.
All right. So where do you get off telling me whatever... In other words...
Where do I get off talking about Cyprus?
No, but you don't know everything is what I'm trying to say. The point that I'm making here before I leave, and I've appreciated this very much, Phil, is Cyprus has been around for a long time. And they've been invaded by all kinds of different countries. They have had all kinds of different... Every kind of religious and, guys with shields and different headwear, I guess you want to call it.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the different people that ran the show over there. So the Cyprus people, when you tell them, here's how it's going to be, they've had a lot of people tell them how it's going to be. And they're liable to turn around and look at you and tell you to park it right back up there. Because they've had Greeks and Romans, and they've had Germans and Americans and Africans and all kinds of people telling them how to do it, and they basically turned around in each instance and said, why don't you jam it right back up your nose? And
well, they didn't say it to all of them. Otherwise, how could they have been subjugated?
Because, yeah, you're right. I mean, eventually, yeah, they did say it to all of them. I mean, you get pissed. Excuse my language, Phil.
No, all right, look, but I think we're not making a very good point here. Yes, they're going to be against anyone that would overrun them, but no, they're not going to have the power to overthrow them. Cyprus, I understand, being where it is, has probably suffered a great deal of invasion and conquest down through many, 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 many centuries. But today, they are their own people, and they run their own country.
Yeah, except when it comes to you saying the Cypriot are...
That's right, and I'm telling them how to live. Okay, Bob, thanks very much.
Well, don't be pissed. I'm sorry, Phil. I didn't mean to, you're right. But all I'm saying is the following thing. They've had a lot of people telling them how to get it done and how to do it and when to get out of bed, when to go to bed, when to take their underwear off, when to put their underwear on their head, bend over. Excuse me for putting it this way, but, I mean, you can imagine a country that small, they probably have people saying, okay, get them off and bend over. And in each instance...
Well, I don't think you need to put it that way.
But in each instance, they turned around and said, before you go ahead and do what you're going to do. Just remember, you can shove it. And they said, yeah, we are going to shove it. But you ain't going to like where it's going. And that's when you sort of, see, that's your point.
That, all right, thank you very much, Bob.
Well, wait a minute. I mean,
he's making a pretty good point.
Yeah, he was making a real good point. That guy got so bizarre there at the end. Why don't you shove it? That's what I'm about to do. Okay. Real good.
Well, what are you laughing at, Phil? Do you think the idea of a man being bent over... Well...
Yeah, I think the way Bob talks is real funny. So there's Robert Greene. So just remember, folks, what happened in Cyprus is essentially this. People with the bank accounts of less than $100,000 are going to get taxed to the tune of... Well, this is a proposal. Taxed to the tune of 7%. Where the people with accounts of more money will not be taxed to that degree. And in Bob's mind, that's the way to do it, because the rich create the wealth and the jobs. We'll be right back here with our final hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Matt Hasselbeck, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, and this Hassel back right after this break. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.